top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Thursday, September 9th, 2021. I'm your presenter, Hassan Robinson. Here are the headlines. St. Vincent and the Grenadines detects 5 cases of the MU variant of the COVID-19, and health officials warn that this latest strain is more transmittable and able to escape the immune response, making it more dangerous. And St. Lucia's police have launched a probe into misconduct allegations in the wake of a now viral video of an officer hitting a civilian, but officials say COVID-19 violators will face the full brunt of the law. And the Taliban announced an interim cabinet or government in Afghanistan that is entirely male, some notorious for attacks on U.S. forces over the last 2 decades, and declared the country an Islamic emirate. The news is brought to you with the very kind compliments of Marigot Cooperative Credit Union and Digicel. The details of these stories and more coming up next.
Right on cue.
Life is better with a Digicel Prime plan. Turn on your data to stay connected and entertained on the go. Don't stress about Wi-Fi access. Just enjoy more movies on Playgo, more sports on Sportsmax, more radio on Go Loud, and more music on D-Music. No surprise charges, only entertainment. Get a one-day Prime Starter data plan for only $3 in the My Digicel app. Digicel, better together.
We all want to know that our money is safe. Well, not only your money, but your financial future is in safe hands at the Marigot Cooperative Credit Union, serving the entire North with the friendliest, easy cash facility, payday loans, convenient checking accounts, secure night safe deposit. Members of the MCCU are now enjoying competitive loans, the members' retirement savings plan, membership capital, and the joy of watching your savings grow at the Marigot Cooperative Credit Union. Friendly support, trusted service, helpful staff approvals. Join the MCCU today and enjoy the growing advantage and convenience of the community-friendly Marigot Cooperative Credit Union business. Call 445-7155 or 445-7166 or email mccu@cwdom.dm. Invest well, save regularly, and watch your money grow at the Marigot Cooperative Credit Union.
And welcome back. Dominica's total active COVID-19 cases now stands at 494 with 6 COVID-related deaths. This from Chief Epidemiologist Dr. Shaladin Ahmed at last evening's COVID-19 update. Dr. Ahmed says all the 6 deaths were unvaccinated persons and that the unvaccinated people are the biggest contributors to the COVID-19 surge in Dominica.
As at September 7, 2021, total number of new cases, 68. Total active cases, 494. Of these 494, 15 are PCR positive cases and 479 are rapid antigen positive cases. Total recovered cases, 1,675. Total COVID-associated deaths, 6. Total number of people tested, 56,462. Of them, 25,248 PCR test and 31,214 rapid antigen test. Our vaccine coverage, 49% of our adult population took at least one dose of the vaccine, and 44% of our target population are now fully vaccinated. Okay, let's look at our deaths. To date, we had 6 deaths, all 6 of them during this surge. So death one occurred on August 14th, 2021. Let's look at second death and third death. Both deaths occurred on August 26th, 2021. Case number four died on August 27th, 2021. Our fifth case died on September 2nd, 2021. Our sixth case died on September 5th, 2021. The unvaccinated group, 76%, remains the main contributor to this surge. All 6 deaths were unvaccinated. With this, I thank you and have a good night.
And that was the Chief Epidemiologist, Dr. Shaladin Ahmed. And a former Rousseau South MP, economist and attorney at law, Joshua Francis, says generally Dominicans have been struggling for quite some time. He acknowledges that Dominica may be physically larger than many neighboring islands. However, it has the smallest economy and one of the highest unemployment rates in the Caribbean.
Generally, Dominicans have been struggling for a very long time. As you know, Dominica has one of the smallest economies in the Caribbean. If you just look at the Eastern Caribbean fiscal or economic space, you would appreciate that Dominica has the smallest economy. Physically, we are larger than Antigua and some other islands around us. Population-wise, we are relatively small, 70,000 people. Economy-wise, we are last.
Francis also takes into account the disasters which struck Dominica, which negatively affected the economy in recent years, compared to similar islands with less natural resources, and says this does not reflect the reality of the stagnant state of wealth and employment in Dominica for unskilled and skilled workers.
In all fairness, as you know, Dominica has been struck by two major disasters over the past 7 years in Tropical Storm Erica, which affected national income by 95% thereabout, and Hurricane Maria by another 200%. So you would appreciate that those factors would have affected our economy even more. And then more recently, you had the outbreak of the COVID pandemic, which has created another threat to the sustainability of Dominica's economy. So where you have an economy that is small, an economy that has not been able to grow, an economy that has not been able to create sustainable jobs, and you have all these external shocks, you have a downturn in the global economy, of course, you have a serious challenge at hand. And to exacerbate the situation, Dominica has not been able to find a way to increase productivity, to manufacture, to export. We are basically dependent on the sale of our citizenship as the main export commodity, and that is risky business.
He urges that based on his analysis of Dominica's economy over the past 17 years, these are the biggest issues in Dominica at present.
And unfortunately, the proceeds from the citizenship by investment program may not have been used to grow the economy in a manner to create jobs, which is required. So I think that is the biggest issue in Dominica right now, that jobs are limited and the jobs which are available do not pay that much. And of course, since the COVID outbreak, unemployment would have increased like most places. And unlike other countries where you had a shrinkage in the economy and then the economies were reopened, you saw a surge in employment level and improvement in the performance of the economies. In Dominica, we have not really experienced much of that.
And that was a former Rosa South MP, economist and attorney at law, Joshua Francis. And St. Vincent and the Grenadines says five cases of the MU variant of COVID-19 has been detected in the country, and health authorities are warning that the latest strain of this coronavirus is more transmittable and able to escape the immune response, making it more dangerous. The National Emergency Management Organization, or NEMO, said in a statement that the five cases of the MU variant were detected following a review of sequencing results for samples sent to the Trinidad-based Caribbean Public Health Agency, or CAFA. It said that the five cases were detected between July 19th and August 9th, and that all cases were detected within the community as contacts of other positive cases from persons seeking health care. The World Health Organization has named the variant B1621, calls it MU, a variant of interest, describing it as having genetic differences with the other known variants such as Delta and the previous one, and is causing infections in multiple countries. The MU is the fifth variant of interest to be monitored by the World Health Organization since March 2020. The World Health Organization weekly COVID-19 bulletin says this variant of interest has a constellation of mutations and that it may take less susceptible actions to vaccines and immunity from natural infections. And also in local news, the president of the Whitey Kubuli Advocate for a Viable Environment, or WAVE, Franklin Coffey, announces that the Glanvilla Development Committee is planning a presentation of Dominica's waterways on September 15th, 2021, with historian Dr. Lennox Honeychurch. Coffey advises the people of Dominica to get in touch with WAVE or the Glanville Development Committee in Portsmouth to attend or view these presentations. He says this is done in light of the country's recognition of World Rivers Day that will be marked on the 26th of September.
Again, this year's World Rivers Day was being coordinated by the Glanville Development Committee. Mm-hmm. And of course, because of the pandemic, they have cancelled most of the activity. But they are hoping on the 15th of December to have a recording of Dr. Lennox Hornichurch making a presentation of the waterways, especially in the northern part of the island in Portsmouth. And we are hoping that we will be able to use that presentation from Dr. Lennox Hornichurch to have a few trivial exercises to kind of find out where we are at as far as our river and our environment is concerned.
And that was the president of the Whitey Kubli Advocate for Viable Environment, WAVE, Franklin Coffey. And attorney Annie Benhansen raises pertinent questions in relation to MMCE's contractual arrangements, which may very well leave our local workers and truckers left out of the loop. Mr. Benhansen questioned the logic or motivation behind these contractual arrangements, querying why can't the government ensure that a seizable amount of the labor to be engaged in the production of this project, the International Airport, be offered to local Dominicans.
Given the level of unemployment in the country, is it fair, just, equitable for a foreign contractor to be given permission to bring equipment in that is already in the hands of private individuals who could be contracted to work on this very important civil project, if in fact it is to take place? Why can't the government ensure, via a social element of this contract, ensure that a sizable amount of the labor to be engaged in the production of these projects should in fact be Dominican, perhaps 50 or 60% of them? And if there's a social element, as they are in many advanced developed countries, why can't that be a feature of such a project, which will only come once in a lifetime, if in fact it is to be executed?
He then raised the question of the contracted company's financial resources being derived from the sale of Dominican passports.
While we're being told that the preference for using such contractor is because they deliver the project and then they are paid later. Now the question is, for the clarification need to be, does this contractor hold sizable financial resources from the sale of passports, and is that money being held in an account outside of this country, and more importantly, outside of the purview of the parliament, which is the chief legislative instrument in the country? Can the president perhaps give some assurances or explain to us whether or not, or what the mechanisms for payment for this contract in the delivery of this mysterious airport?
He then questioned the transparency of the contract signing between MMCE and the government of Dominica, and that if indeed it was agreed upon by the parliament, it should be released to the public.
Did parliament authorize the signing of the contract between MMCE and the government of Dominica, signed by the permanent secretary within the office of the prime minister? If parliament did approve such or authorize such signing, can the legislation from Parliament be released to the public? Can the details of the contract signed on behalf of the people of Dominica, can that be made public, as it would be a public document open to the scrutiny, not just of Parliament and the subcommittees of Parliament, but also open to the scrutiny of the people of Dominica, on whose behalf such an agreement would have been signed?
And that was a former district magistrate and now practicing attorney in four jurisdictions in the Eastern Caribbean Supreme Court, Tiani Benhansen. And the Ministry of Education has attempted to clear the air on their recent requirement that students must wear their uniforms whilst attending online classes by saying that this is a symbol of seriousness and respect. Speaking at a special simulcast edition of Education in Action, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Education, Mrs. Chandler Hyacinth and Chief Education Officer Dr. Jeffrey Blairs answered a question and concerns of many, and one of which are that both parents and teachers may have had leading up to the second year of the virtual schooling due to COVID-19, which is raising concerns over the logic behind having students at their homes in their school uniforms. And in response to this, Dr. Blairs describes that this is a requirement that is a sign of respect and structure.
So really, we are saying have the uniform on as a sense of respect, as a sense of ensuring that there is minimal disturbance and distraction in the classroom, in the environment, in the learning environment online, as a form of
structure,
identity and structure. And so really, and it is not something far-fetched, because in many jurisdictions, you would find that where online learning exists, students are actually in uniform.
And that was the Chief Education Officer, Dr. Jeffrey Blairs. Meantime, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Education, Mr. Chandler Hyacinth, seconded the notion, saying that wearing the uniform is a way of indicating to the students that they are at school and that they need to take their classes seriously.
We regard the uniform as one way to let the students realize we are at school, we need to take it seriously. Mm-hmm. And we know that this... the exposure, one of the things with COVID and use of digital learning is it exposes a lot of the disparities that exist within our society, and that too of itself is a factor affecting us within our school system. The most deprived communities, the most deprived students, they will feel a way if they have to dress certain ways to be on the platform, and it affects them too. So we want to ensure that all our students are on the same platform, and no student will feel disadvantaged because of how they dress to attend classes. And the uniform will give that formalness towards education, and we want to send a message to the students that they must take their education seriously, whether it is delivered face to face, whether it is in the online mode. It is serious, and treat it as serious.
And that was the Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Education, Mrs. Chandler Hyacinth. And in other news, the Royal St. Lucia Police Force has launched a probe into allegations of misconduct in the wake of a now viral video of an officer hitting a civilian. The force says COVID-19 violators will face the full brunt of the law. The police recorded a slew of breaches over the weekend and have been using discretion to deal with the incidents, they say. However, the police commissioner warns that moving forward, the authorities will not be so lenient as St. Lucia struggles to contain a raging fourth wave of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Our duties, police officers has a discretion, and based on the situation at hand, they will take the initiative to enforce the law as they see fit. We realize that, especially since it was our first major operation, since the COVID spike, we have been doing the day-to-day, but it was a major operation. Office, the commanders on the ground, having seen what happened, have taken the decision to allow persons to give them warnings, so that we, on the next occasion, that persons would be arrested. I know the law is still in effect, the COVID legislation is still in effect, and we shall enforce the law as per the legislation. However, as I said, the police officers, they have a discretion and will use discretion as they see fit.
Also in other news, the Taliban have announced an interim government in Afghanistan, declaring the country an Islamic emirate. The new cabinet, entirely male, is made up of senior Taliban figures, some of whom are notorious for attacks on U.S. forces over the last two decades. It will be led by Mullah Mohammed Hassan Akhund, one of the movement's founders, who is on the UN blacklist. The interior minister is feared by FBI most wanted leader in Haqqani militant group in Sirajuddin in Haqqani.
Just take a look at some of the key figures. Hibatullah Akhundzada is considered supreme leader of the Taliban. He has led them since 2016. The prime minister will be this man, Mohammad Hassan Akhund, who is on a UN terrorist sanctions list. He was deputy prime minister in the previous Taliban government in the 1990s. Sirajuddin Haqqani has been named as the acting interior minister. He is wanted by the FBI and is head of the militant group known as the Haqqani Network, which is affiliated with the Taliban and have been behind some of the deadliest attacks in the country's two-decade-long war, including a truck bomb explosion in Kabul in 2017 that killed more than 150 people. Mullah Yaqub is to be acting defense minister. He is the son of Taliban founder and late supreme leader Mullah Omar. And Taliban co-founder Mullah Abdul Ghani Barada will be one of the prime minister's deputies. Our chief international correspondent Liz Doucette is in Kabul and she sent us this assessment of the new Taliban regime.
Well, not surprisingly, Western governments have expressed concern. There's been a written statement from the United States expressing concern, as you've just been reflecting, about the fact that it isn't inclusive in the least. It doesn't include women. It doesn't include minorities. There have also been comments on social media from European diplomats also expressing concern that this does not represent the vast majority of Afghans. And I have to say that on the streets today, the protests are continuing. In fact, they're intensifying. And the Taliban reaction to the protests has been also intensifying. There was with greater violence, more foreign journalists were arrested today. Afghan journalists were arrested today. There was a women's protest in the west of Kabul. They expressed their criticism of the government announcement last night, the caretaker government. But meanwhile, the Taliban are getting on with the business of government. The new ministers, caretaker ministers, have been told to go to their offices to meet the people that will be working with them.
That was
and that's the morning news. As a recap of the headlines, St. Vincent and the Grenadines detects 5 cases of the MU variant of COVID-19, and health officials warn this latest strain is more transmittable and able to escape the immune response, making it more dangerous. St. Lucia's police have launched a probe into misconduct allegations in the wake of an all-viral video of an officer hitting a civilian, but officials say COVID-19 violators will face the full brunt of the law. And the Taliban announced an interim cabinet or government of Afghanistan that is entirely male, some notorious for attacks on U.S. forces over the last 2 decades, and declared the country an Islamic emirate. The news was brought to you for the very kind compliments of Marigot Cooperative Credit Union and Digicel. I've been your presenter, Hassan Robinson.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on Q.